It's so good to see everybody here this morning. We have a lot of visitors here today. I know that this is Mother's Day, and I also know that this is the week of graduation at Harding. And so for all of you that are our visitors, you are our most welcome and our most honored guest. We're so glad to have you here with us this morning. It is a hope and a desire that you feel so welcome, that whenever you're back here in the Searcy area again, you'll come back and worship God together with us again, and to study with us from the Word of God. If you don't have a copy of the sermon outline, just take your Bibles and be turning over to Proverbs 31. The bulk of the text this morning is going to be taken from Proverbs chapter 31, and so even without an outline, you should be able to follow along quite well. Thank you, Steve, for the excellent song selection this morning. It goes quite well with the day. It goes quite well with the sermon this morning. We're going to be studying the text here because in it, it describes what the Bible would call a virtuous wife. What I would describe is an awesome wife and mother. And we're going to just take the text and we're going to be breaking it down in categories. You can take Proverbs 31 and the text dealing with the virtuous wife. And if you study it, you will realize there are categories that the verses can be categorized in that are talking about different aspects of this woman. And so all I've done is just taken the text that is here and put them in those categories. And then we're going to be reading those verses together to see the big picture of that particular part of the proverb. And so Proverbs 31 and verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And then in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. If you have been blessed with a wife, husbands, listen to me now. She is the greatest physical treasure God will ever bless you with. She is the one and the only one who completes you, your helper, the one and the only one with whom you are one, and hopefully the mother of your children. As a consequence of that, when we're talking about her price is far above rubies, we're talking about her value. How precious she is. And the text here and the other one that I read to you is talking about if you have been blessed with this great treasure of a wife, you need to realize God has smiled on you, man. God has smiled on you. I do believe in matches made in heaven because I'm living one. I sincerely believe that my wife is the answer not only to my prayers, but my mom and dad's prayers. After I got married, my mom and dad came and said, we prayed for you every day. And that's a lot of prayers, folks, because I didn't get married until I was 31. And so they just told me right up front, she's the answer to our prayers. Yeah, you are. You are. My prayers and their prayers. So recognize this. The woman that you call your wife, she is your wife because God saw you worthy of her. God saw you worthy of this treasure that he has blessed you with, and it is the greatest physical treasure he will ever bless you with in your entire life. Let's go into the text here and see the character of this virtuous wife. It says, the heart of the husband, her husband, safely trust her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband has absolute confidence and trust in his wife. He knows with no doubting she's faithful to me. He knows with no doubting she is going to take care of all of her responsibilities in our family. She's going to be taking care of my needs, her children's needs. She's going to be taking care of the family's needs. And folks, there's a lot of needs in a family. When I was growing up, I took care of the yard. My sister took care of the inside of the house with my mom. And so I didn't understand that work until I got married. And then when my wife got pregnant with twins and she had to go on total bed rest, I did something I'd never done in my life, and that was housework. I learned real quick, I hate it. You can't conquer the kitchen. And you have to juggle, and all these things are going on. All these things requiring your attention. This husband knows she's got this. She's got it. She's taking care of all these things. He hasn't got to give it any thought. She's going to do him good. She's going to do the family good because of her character and her love for us and her love for God. She's going to do me good and us good all the days of her life. What a wonderful relationship to have with a wife, to where you have absolute confidence and trust in her toward you and the family. It says in chapter 12 and verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Chapter 12 and verse 4 of Proverbs. Now chapter 31 and verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Okay, an excellent wife, the crown. Everybody sees the crown, and everybody knows this man's blessed. This man's got something great. Look at that crown on his head. People look at you and they say, this man is blessed. Look at his wife. Look at the woman he is married to. Look at her character. And the text here in chapter 31 and 23 talks about how he's known at the gates with the elders. If you don't understand this, the gates of the city is where the really important men and individuals of the city met to take care of business. And he's one of them. And he's known among them. I'll put this to you in modern Arkansas terms. Behind every great man is a great woman. And that is how we are able to become who we are able to be, because we have such a great helper who completes us, who fulfills us, who helps us polish ourselves. And yes, I meant to say that, because we need polishing. And they're able to help us take all of the abilities that God has blessed us with, all of our potential, and driven by our wife's love for us, our wife's helping us, our wife's encouragement, we are able to become the best me I can be, the best man I am able to become. That is the power of a virtuous wife who loves and encourages and helps her husband to the point to where he's up at the gates. He's up at the gates because she's behind him. He's up at the gates and known among the elders because of her influence and help in his life. She is his crown, and everybody knows it. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. I love that verse. The children, they see what mom is doing for them. The children are the recipients of her love. The children are the recipients of her food. The children are the recipients of their clothing. And the children understand she is doing all of these things for me and for us because mom loves us. She's doing all of these things. She's putting herself out because she loves us. And the children recognize this. They see the character of mom. They see her wisdom. They see her gentleness. They see her kindness. And the only thing they can do is thank her and praise her, because they realize they were blessed with such an awesome mom. Why is she this way to the point to where her children rise up and call her blessed? And her husband, he praises her. I can tell you why. Proverbs 31, 30 through 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now look at this. This is just stating the reality of women. And people, actually, in general. But women in the text here is talking about how charm is deceitful. Guys that aren't married, please listen real closely. A girl can be very nice for a few dates. A girl can be very polite and kind and gentle in your presence for a while. And then you think this is her character and this is the way she is. And you marry her, and there's a phrase in Genesis that says, and behold, it was Leah. And the idea is, who are you? Where'd that nice girl go? Where'd that gentle girl go? Where'd the girl I was dating go? Who are you? Charm is deceitful. There are girls who can be quite charming, but how are they really? And you know, there are girls that are beautiful. I'm going to use a Mississippi phrase if you don't mind, but they may have snakes in their head. Yeah, they may be pretty on the outside, but they're ugly on the inside. You know what real beauty is? A woman who fears the Lord. That's why this woman is the way she is. That's why she's doing everything that she's doing, because she fears God and she loves God first. Her relationship with God is what is driving everything else. And she loves her husband, she loves her children, and that love for God, that fear for God, that love for her family is driving her in all their actions. And the family is receiving all those blessings. And everybody knows the reason mom is the way mom is because God's at the center of her life. A God-fearing woman only gets more beautiful with time. The outward man perishes, okay? You know, keep those pictures of what you look like when you get married. Because you're going to grow older. The outward man perishes. But the inward man, he gets renewed day by day. And so even though your outward man may be perishing and you're getting older, okay? All right. If God is still at the very center of your life, and men, if what drew you to your wife and the reason you fell in love with her, but it's because of the beauty of her heart, she just gets more beautiful with time, regardless of age. And so the reason you fell in love with her in the first place, it just gets better with time. Because the woman is a woman who fears the Lord. Proverbs 31, 14 through 15. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. All I want you to see here is it's still dark outside. Still dark. And nobody else is awake yet. But she knows my husband's got a busy day ahead of him. My children have got a busy day ahead of them. and they're going to need food. They're going to need breakfast. They're going to need food to give them strength to be able to deal with the day that's ahead. And because she loves her household, she's willing to put herself out and even get up before them and prepare breakfast for them so they will have food and strength to do what needs to be done in the rest of the day. As you go further in this text, it says in chapter 31 and verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Are you seeing here what I put in yellow on the overhead for you? Her household, her household, her household. Do you see what's emphasized in her mind and her life is her household and the needs of her household? And when it says she's not afraid of the snow, folks, I'm from Mississippi. And when we get a half an inch of snow, we close everything down because we don't like it. You know, if you like snow, good. We don't like it. And one of the things I remember is it snowed big in Mississippi. That means it was 4 inches. And I wore my tennis shoes out in it to go play. And I remember feeling like my feet were freezing and about to fall off. And running home as quick as I could to get out of it. Because if you're out in the snow for an extended period of time, it hurts. It's not fun anymore. It starts hurting. And she's not afraid of the snow. That means she knows it's going to hurt. But if it's what her family needs, she'll go through that pain of the snow. Because she loves her household. And when it says her household is clothed in scarlet, folks, you don't know scarlet cloth, that was expensive stuff. She saw to it that they had the best that she could get for them. Continuing in Proverbs 31, 27 to 28, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. What I'm trying to show you is the numerous times you see the phrase, her household, her household, her household, her household. Because she loves them. She's willing to get up before everybody, put herself out, even hurt, if it will help them. And the family knows this about her. They know that she's doing all of these things and you can count on it. This is just the way mom is. Because she loves God and she loves us. And so she should be praised for being this kind of woman. Proverbs 31, verse 7, 13 now this time. Proverbs 31 and 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Wool and flax. One comes from the sheep and the goats, and the other comes from a plant. And what these are the raw materials from which you are going to make thread. Chapter 31, 18 through 19. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. What you're seeing here is now this wool and this flax that she went and she bought. She's taking the wool and the flax and from it making thread. And then from the thread making cloth. It's starting off with the raw materials of the wood and flax. And then from the flax, she makes the string. From the wool, she makes the string. And from the string, she makes the cloth. And from the cloth, she makes garments. Chapter 31, 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. And then after she sells the linen garments and the sashes from the thread that she used to make the cloth, that she used to make the garments, and the profits that she uses, it says, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. I just let this sink in. What I'm trying to show you is I've taken the verses from chapter 31 and compiled them together in the category to try to show you what you're seeing here is this woman's work ethic. And that she goes and gets the raw material itself to make her thread, to make her cloth, to make her garments, to sell her garments, to get profit, and her merchandise is good, and she knows this. She knows she makes good cloth garments. And then with that profit, she goes and buys a piece of land. You know, if you don't know this, this was something that was taught to me a long time ago when I was younger. Invest in land. They're not making any more of it. Land is a good investment. And not only does she buy a piece of land, then she gets out on that piece of land and cleans it up and plants a vineyard. Folks, that's hard work. To plant a vineyard, to get a piece of property, requires being an extremely good businesswoman. This woman is good at business. She has skills that she has developed. She has developed the skills of sowing. And with sowing, she sells what she sows and gets enough money to buy a piece of land. And then with a piece of land, it doesn't just sit there. She makes a vineyard out of it. And you got to understand, folks, she's the one doing all this. This woman has an amazing work ethic, and she's a very astute and wise businesswoman. Getting back to Proverbs 31 and verse 15. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Earlier we talked about her household. Now I want to go back to the same text here and look at another person here. And that's the people that are called her maidservants. We're dealing with women who are servants. And she is the master's wife. She's getting up and not only cooking breakfast for her family, she's cooking breakfast for her maidservants. She's serving her servants. She's taking care of her servants. That's humility right there, folks. That's kindness right there. That's consideration right there. That's what I'm trying to show you. The kindness, the consideration of this lady. Let's go further with this. Chapter 31, verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Earlier we talked about her making thread, making cloth, making garments, buying land, planting a vineyard. But she also does something else with the money that she has. She realizes there are people around her that are poor. There are people around her that are, as the text says, needy. And she extends her hand to them, that is, she helps them. She is willing to come to the help and the aid of people who are in need, people who are in poor, because she has a heart of compassion and kindness toward people in general. Yes, she loves her family, and yes, her family is special to her. They're the ones that are in scarlet. But she has a heart for all people. And when she sees someone in need, she will be there to help that person in need. When she sees someone who's poor, she'll extend her hand to them. She's willing to take money she has earned from her labor and share it with other people. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This woman, because she is a God-fearing woman, knows the Word of God. She has spent time studying the Scriptures to attain wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Wisdom is recognizing life from moment to moment and understanding where you are at the different moments of life, and not only understanding the moment and the time, you understand what to do at that time. This woman is a woman who has wisdom. To where when she speaks, you listen. Because what she's got to say is important. What she's got to say is words that can help you understand how to handle even difficult situations. Because she's got wisdom. And when she speaks to people and acts toward people, what she says is words that are kind, words that are considerate, words that are the salt of the world, that are a blessing to you, that strengthen you, that help you, that build you up, to where when she leaves, you are so glad she came into your life, even if it was for a moment, she was there. Because anytime she speaks to you, it's words of kindness, words of help, words to strengthen, words to build up. She cares about people, and she's kind, and she's wise. Chapter 31, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. And then when you go to chapter 31, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Do you see here in these two texts? You have the word strength three times. If you don't understand the term girds, in ancient times they wore tunics, basically a dress. When it's time to get ready to work, you'd gird your tunic. You'd take it in the middle here, and you pull it up, and you'd gird it, and you tie it, and you'd make breeches out of it. Breeches out of it. To where you get in there and work. And she understood sometimes, this woman, you got to get tough and get in there and work. Folks, farming is work. This woman planted a vineyard. That's work. She's not afraid to get dirty. She's not afraid to get out in the soil and dig and plant and garden it and take care of it. She girds herself with strength. She strengthens her arms. She's ready to work and work hard. And not only that, now it talks about another kind of strength here, not physical strength, but strength and honor are her clothing. Now we're talking about her character. Not just strength and willing to work hard. We're talking about this woman is strong inside, in her heart and her mind. She is strong. The world's definition of strong and the Bible's definition of strong are not the same. The world's concept of strong is you're strong and you beat people up. The Bible's definition of strong is you don't allow the world and things happening in the world to run over you. And you're going to show kindness regardless of what other people say or do. And you're not going to let the cattiness and the meanness of other people make you mean. You know, there are folks out in the world who get their kicks by stealing your joy. By being mean to you. By being ugly to you and knowing that they've left you hurting. Remember talking about the world power beating you up? There are people that love to beat people up with words. The woman here, though, when someone tries to beat her up with words, she's not going to change. She's not going to give in to the pressure. She is going to remain with the character of kindness and gentleness and God-fearing regardless of what's going on around her. That's strength of character. And honor, when it says strength and honor are her clothing, she wears it all the time. This is just the way she is. And nothing is going to change her character. Wow. What a woman. Proverbs 31 now, verse 22 this time. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Okay, I'm going to do something now here for a moment. I'm just going to take time. Yes. All of you ladies, you are beautiful this morning. Yes, you are beautiful. You have taken very good care of yourself. You've polished yourself. You're wearing nice clothes. You're concerned and wanting to do the best you can with yourself. And that's why I know that's one of the best ways I know to put it. You're doing the best you can with what you are. With yourself. Yourself is just fine. Yourself, who you are right now. Where you are right now in your age, in your body. You're just fine. Right now. And you're beautiful right now. Not only was she wearing clothing of honor and strength, she polished herself and took care of herself. Proverbs 31 now, 29-31. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her at the gates. If you study the close of this 31st chapter, you're going to see a word used four times, I believe. Praise. Let her own works praise her at the gates. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now listen to me, husbands and children. You all have mothers. If your mother is still alive, praise her. If your wife is alive, praise her. Praise her and let her know how great a treasure she is in your life. Let her know through your words of praise that you recognize what she had and what she is doing for you and for your family. We have a joke in our family. We talk about laundry fairies. There are no such thing as laundry fairies. There are no such thing as house cleaning fairies. Dobby does not exist. Half of you are going, what? Some of them understand. We don't have house elves. Somebody's got to cook that food. Somebody's got to clean those clothes. Somebody's got to see to it that the children have clothes that fit, that look well on them. They go together. And what do you do when the children get sick? I'm going to tell you something, and all you women here who have had children understand this. You can try to sleep, and you're still listening when your child is sick. And you can hear them when something's wrong in the middle of the night. Why is that? Because you love them. They're your children. Your son, That's your daughter. And when they're hurting, you hurt with them. And when they're in need, you will be there for them. If it needs to be changing the diaper, putting their clothes on them, feeding them. And there comes a point in time when you grow older and all of a sudden you realize what was done for you. I did not know what my parents did for me until I became a parent. And then when I started doing all of a sudden, I couldn't thank mom and dad enough. So children, praise your parents. Praise your mom for all the things that she's doing. Husbands, praise your wife. Recognize all the things that she is in your life. Let her know how important that she is to you. I was blessed to have a mother that was one of these women. Thank you, Father. I am blessed to be married to one of these women. And I have a stepmother. Not a stepmother, mother-in-law. Sorry. I didn't marry somebody else. A mother-in-law who made my wife who she is. Thank you. I am looking at great treasure around the room. You are all beautiful. All of you. You are the great treasures in the lives of the men who have had the great blessing of calling you mother, calling you wife. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who's not in Christ yet, and you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and you realize there is sin between you and your God, sin that needs to be dealt with, sin you have not repented of yet, we would like to encourage you to come home to the Father. Come home. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song that has been selected.